I invite you this morning to open your Bibles to the book of Acts. We're going to look at two short passages in the book of Acts. Talking about growing the church this morning. So we've got a couple of scripture passages from Acts 13, verses 1 through 5, and then moving on to chapter 14. This is what God's word says to us this morning. In the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. And when they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. And John was with them as their helper. Now, this is Paul's first missionary journey, and it goes on. It's an extended missionary journey, and on into chapter 14. Talks about the places he visited, the things that happened in their lives, in the lives of Barnabas and Saul. And then towards the end of chapter 14, beginning in verse 21, the book of Acts continues like this. They preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples. And then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true in the Christian faith. "We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God," they said. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting, committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. After going through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attaliah. And from Attaliah, they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work that they had now completed. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And they stayed there a long time with the disciples. As Sue mentioned a little while ago, we've been missionaries in Chiapas for some 35 years, and some people say, "Wow, that's incredible. I can't believe that you've been there that long." But that's where we felt that God called us, that God sent us to work and to minister and to preach the gospel, very much like Barnabas and Saul were commissioned by the church in Antioch. Barnabas and Saul, we look at that first missionary pair going out to witness and to speak in God's name. And there's some lessons, I think, that we can learn about growing the church, how to grow the church, not necessarily everything, how to be the church, how to act and to live out the church, but to grow the church, to share the gospel, and there's things there that we can learn in this book of Acts. So I wanted to center on these two passages this morning and to think a little bit about how we can grow a church, and maybe they're applicable as much in Chiapas as they are in Kalamazoo, at North Park, or the surrounding community. I think they're just as applicable in Africa and in Asia and in all parts of the world, in Latin America. Lessons that we can learn about growing the church. And so I want to talk a little bit about this morning about growing the church that we did in Chiapas. You've been a part of that. You've been supporting us for the last 35 years and praying for us and writing letters and contacting us and encouraging us. And I want you to feel very much a part of the growth of that church, because the Reformed Church in America says that is one of the greatest success stories that we have had in the Reformed Church. It's one of the few times that the church has been completely or almost entirely successful in spreading the gospel and sharing the gospel with other people. And I want you to feel the joy and the excitement that we feel, because you've been a part of that, an integral part in praying for us and supporting us, encouraging us, and having us come and visit and share what we've been doing each time when we come back to the States. I want to talk about those biblical principles, because it's a phenomenal church growth that's taken place in Chiapas. And to give you a little bit more background, we worked with the Tzotzil-speaking people. They're one of the Mayan groups. There are about 31 different Mayan dialects. And we worked with the Tzotzils almost exclusively for the first 25, 30 years of our ministry, and then branched out a little bit to the other groups. But the Reformed Church, this year, in celebrating 90 years of ministry among the people of Chiapas, did a special video, 8 minutes long, probably more entertaining than the rest of the message. But I want to show you that video this morning so that you can just have a little bit of an understanding of what went on. So Anita, if you can run that, we'll see that a video in a minute.
When they came to work with us, they learned to live in our villages, to dress like we did. They learned to share their lives with us. They chose not to be separate from us, but they talked in our language, they related to us, and we lived together.
We didn't come in to do for them. We came in to work with them. And I think that has helped the church to grow, that it's not our church, it's the Lord's church.
They introduced me more to the gospel, a broad gospel. And they taught me about their life. And through their life, I learned more about Jesus and the gospel.
When I was 6 years old, my father became a Christian. And my father was one of the first Christians in our village. And he heard the gospel from the Sturks.
The changes that we saw, most missionaries in their lifetime do not get to see. So we were really blessed in seeing just a powerful movement of God's Spirit in bringing about amazing transformation.
I think the RCA has meant a great deal to the Chaplain Church in training pastors and church leaders, helping people to develop their own skills, helping them to identify their spiritual gifts, providing leadership training and development, moving into areas of women's ministry, paramedic training, trying to present an integrated ministry and an integrated theology to the Chaplain's Church.
Definitely for me, the most rewarding part has been working with the women, helping them to change the way they see themselves as Christians in the church.
Before I joined the Woman's Society, I was always afraid. I was afraid to speak, afraid to express myself. But I learned a lot of wisdom from the Woman's Society, and I learned that I can talk about what Jesus means to me. I got to know Vern and Carlos Turk, and they helped me grow my faith. Once we started the Woman's Society, I got to know Sue, and she helped me to have confidence.
And so she said, what I used to think of a Christian woman is no longer what I think. I think that we have our place in the church and that we have a lot of gifts that we can use for God's kingdom. And she's just changed so much now. She preaches and she teaches and she goes out on visits, and I love her.
They also saw people who were sick and needed healing. And while they prayed for them, they also wanted to provide some medical help. So instead of sending down missionary doctors, the church there decided that they would train an elder or deacon from their congregation to become a paramedic.
The paramedic program is bringing people to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and not only Savior of their lives, but Lord of their lives, which makes a tremendous difference in their villages when people realize the transformation that's taking place.
I saw this chance to do God's work in my village. There are not a lot of believers there. Now I can give them medicine and share God's word and tell them Jesus loves them in a very practical way. When I'm doing the paramedic work, I see that I'm being used by God to share the gospel. It gives me an opportunity to show them that it's not just medicine that is healing them, but God is healing them.
And they see themselves as another arm of the church. Not just elders, not just deacons or pastors, but they're also community health workers.
We were privileged to bring, to be a part of the translation of the first full Sozio Bible. That's another thing that I think is the greatest legacy that you can do, is to bring the Word of God, translate the Word of God into the mother tongue of a people and leave them with that.
I'm very grateful that I had the opportunity to know the missionaries. They broke the Bible and it was translated in our heart language where it could touch our heart and make a difference. If I had never known the missionaries, I would have never known what it really means to be a Christian.
We came not just to share the gospel and then move on, but we stayed long enough also to teach, make disciples and baptize them, but also teach them to teach others.
Juan R. Kempers.
John Kempers was concerned about the theological education and development of the Chiapas Church. So he dedicated his time to the preparation of young people who would be the future leaders of the church. So it is now a responsibility to take this training they have given us to grow the church so that the kingdom of God would exist here in Chiapas.
When we were back just a few months ago, we were encouraged by the fact that their Bible school has developed and their own leadership and their own patterns have been formed, and that the Bible school is more active and has more students than we ever would have imagined.
We received the church during the time the missionaries were here, and it reminds us of the tremendous church growth in the book of Acts. And now it is our turn to take that responsibility and continue to grow the church.
My hope would be that they reach out beyond their borders and our examples to all of Mexico and then to other areas in the world. And that's already happening through their mission agency. They are sending people to unreached areas within Chiapas with the goal of then going beyond Mexico.
I want to extend my profound thankfulness to the Reformed Church for coming to work with us. Because of RCA missionaries, the church in Chiapas continues to grow and continues to develop. We will never forget the impact that the RCA has had.
You know, we couldn't have done it without the person in the pew who was there supporting us, praying for us, encouraging us.
So it was an ongoing partnership, not only of praying and planning together, but also supporting the good work there, until now the church is larger than we are and is able to support its own congregations and then reach out to other countries in the world.
And I think that the Reformed Church would be very proud of what they've accomplished, the things that we've been able to do over the last 90 years. I say that not because we're boasting, but just looking at how the Lord has used us and blessed us to be a part of that church growth.
So that's what you've been a little bit of a part of, in supporting us, encouraging us, and praying for us. Chiapas for Jesus Christ. People are speculating that the church in Chiapas is probably somewhere between 700 or 800, perhaps as many as 900,000 people. When you consider that the Reformed Church right now is somewhere around 110 or 112,000 people, God has done a mighty thing in Chiapas. But the church growth principles speak to us about how we should work and how we should develop the church, how we should grow a church. And I think we begin with an attitude of service. The church needs to be people who want to be the servants of God, people who want to have an attitude of service. When the church was worshiping in Antioch, the church had been persecuted in Jerusalem. It had been spread out. The only people allowed to stay in Jerusalem were the disciples, and all of the other followers of Jesus Christ went to different places. And Antioch became one of the new church centers. And the people in Antioch, it says, were worshiping and fasting. That means that they were praying, they were praising God, they were singing hymns, and looking for God's will in their lives. Their attitude was one of service. How can we serve not only the church, how can we serve God, but how can we also begin to serve the world? And God spoke to them through the Holy Spirit. And God said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul. Send them out as missionaries, as people who are going to share the gospel with others, as people who are going to go out and to do God's will. I think we all need to do God's will wherever we are, but these were people who were set aside to go out. And so, directed by the Holy Spirit, the church in Antioch sent out Barnabas and Saul for a special ministry, for a special mission. And that meant that the church needed to support them, they needed to encourage them, they needed to be led by God's Holy Spirit. And so there was not only a commissioning, but there was also commitment, there was consistency, and that they were constant in their dedication that the gospel was going to be spread. It's one of the things that we learned very quickly, that the people that we worked with the Socios, they expected that of us. You've been commissioned to share the gospel, and you have to be deeply committed, sometimes walking the trails, mountain trails, walking through the rain and the mud and the heat, and going to far-flung villages to share the gospel. You need to be constant in your witness. It needs to be authentic. It's not only a witness that you say on Sundays and the rest of the week you live the way you want to, but you are a people dedicated to serving God, and it needs to be daily. To become truly authentic, it needs to be a daily witness. And so the church in Antioch had this view of servanthood, the desire to serve God, to go out and to share the gospel. And that's what we did in Chiapas as well. Not just Al and Sue, and not the other nine families who've worked in Chiapas. We had a maximum of 10 couples at different time, maybe 20 couples total over that period of 90 years. But God working through his people to reach out and to touch a needy world. As you saw in the video, when the Kempers went to Chiapas in 1925, there were maybe 1,000, maybe a few hundred Christians. When we went to work with the Sotzil, there were just a couple of hundred Christians. And yet God used us through the work of the Holy Spirit to teach and to preach and to share the gospel. I can remember going out to villages through the highlands and walking down the trails and going into a village because we had been invited to go there with a musical group, and they're singing Christian songs and probably not the praise songs that we were singing this morning, but Christian songs that spoke to people's hearts. And then we showed a Christian film, there was a short message, and oftentimes we were invited to come back again. They wanted to hear more. And that's the way it was with Paul and Barnabas, or Barnabas and Saul. His name hasn't been changed yet. In chapter 14, they changed his name to Paul. But they're invited to come and share again. And oftentimes, during those first 8 or 10 years, it seemed like I was constantly on the trails, visiting places, having an opportunity to share the gospel, to tell others about Jesus Christ, so that they could become servants of the living God. Now, once they felt that the leading of the Holy Spirit, once Barnabas and Saul felt that they understood what God's will needed to be, or what God wanted them to do, then they needed to act on that. Sometimes it took weeks and months of prayer in Chiapas, sometimes it took longer, but in each of the Gospels, at the end of each Gospel, there is a commissioning to go out into all the world, to share the gospel, and that's repeated again in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8. You will be my witnesses. That's what it means to be a people of God. Not just to be blessed, not just to enjoy fellowship, not just to sing and to have a worship service on Sunday, but to go out in faithfulness and to share that gospel with others in a needy and hurting world. And in Chiapas, that was one of the things that we encountered is people were poor, people needed medical attention, and so the paramedic program was implemented. People needed to hear words of comfort and consolation. People needed to hear the entire Bible expounded. And so there were lots of ministries that we had an opportunity to be involved in translation and other things, so that we could share the gospel of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with the people there. And so Barnabas and Saul go out to preach and to share the gospel, to share the good news with the people there. They traveled to some villages where they were well received. They traveled to some other villages where maybe not so well received, but they went in the power of the Holy Spirit. At the beginning of chapter 13, it talks about guided by the Holy Spirit. And at the end of chapter 14, guided by the Holy Spirit, they returned to Antioch to give their report to the church there. They went out in God's direction, by God's experience, by God's desire, and how they're going to work. And sometimes they had an excellent reception in places like Perga. The church grew rapidly. People were interested. They were excited. Some places, the church was not so excited. There was hardships. There were difficulties. There were problems. In Mexico, we have a famous speed bump that we call the tope. And I don't know how they do it, but they seem like they multiply during the night. Maybe some topes get together, and the next day it seems like there's more speed bumps to be dealing with as you're driving down the road. But God's word often runs into topes. There's speed bumps. There's challenges to our Christian faith, who we are and how we share the faith, and there's resistance. And Paul and Barnabas ran into the same thing. There were hardships. There were people that didn't want to hear. There was difficulties. There were problems. Paul ran into a little problem that he was stoned several times and left for dead. And yet, they were committed to sharing the gospel. They were committed to doing what God wanted them to do. And so they continually went out sharing the gospel, despite the antagonism, despite the rejection, despite the desire of other people to turn against them, they share the gospel. And it was those actions, that faithfulness, that commitment, that desire to share the gospel, that led to the church growth. I think that if Barnabas and Saul or Barnabas and Paul had said, you know, I don't like being kicked out of a village. I don't like being rejected. I don't like people saying to me that they're not interested in the gospel message. If they had turned their backs on that village and just gone away, they would not have had the success that they actually did. For us, it would have been the same thing in Chiapas. There were times that we went to a village, and I can remember one occasion I went to this village and wanted to share the gospel there. I'd been there a couple times before, and this was the first time that I went by myself. And the lead catechist, the head of the Catholic Church in that region, called me to his house, and he said, I want to talk to you about something. And I said, okay. And he said, well, who sent you here? I said, I came by invitation. The people in the village have invited me to come. But who sent you here? Are you being paid by the CIA? No. Is your salary paid by the U.S. government? No. How much money do you receive for each convert? Nothing. And for about an hour, he grilled me about what I was doing there. And finally he said, okay, you people over here, and he sent, talked to some of his officials and said, go and buy some popping cookies, we're gonna sit down, because I think this guy is okay. And after that point, I had the freedom to go back and share the gospel and to speak about who Jesus Christ was, to share the gospel with people who were interested to know more. There were other villages that said, I think it's time for you to leave. And being guided by the Holy Spirit, we said too, we think it's time for us to leave, and maybe we can come back in 3 or 4 months, or maybe we can come back in 6 months, and we can try again in this village. But God was guiding us, just as he was guiding Barnabas and Saul, and sharing the gospel and preaching the good news and telling others about Jesus Christ. And in some places, the church grew and multiplied. In the Tsotsil tribe now, I'm guessing that there's somewhere around 10% of the Tsotsils now are evangelical Christians. Or over 24,000 Presbyterian Christians in the two classes that we have among the Tsotsils. There are 24 ordained pastors, over 400 elders, and some 380 or 390 deacons. The church has grown and has been blessed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Sue and I evaluate what we've done in the last 35 years, we say it was because of the Holy Spirit working in people's lives, preparing them to receive the gospel, preparing them to hear God's good news. It was the Holy Spirit sharing. Perhaps we were the medium, we were the voices who shared that message, but it was the Holy Spirit changing and transforming lives. And that's why it was so important to bathe everything in prayer, to talk about prayer, to read our scriptures, to understand what the Bible has to say, so that when we spoke with people, the people would listen to us and that they would respond. Is that something you think you could do in Kalamazoo? Or maybe you're already doing it? I think that works. To have a servant attitude as a church. If we're going to be the people of God, we start out as servants. Credible servants who are submitting themselves to the direction of the Holy Spirit, to sharing the gospel, to sharing the good news with those around us. Bathing our decisions, the direction of our church, the thoughts that we have, the forms of ministry, in prayer and looking for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And then when we feel that as a church of God, we know the direction that God is sending us, or God is leading us, or God is guiding us, then to respond in ministry, to share with the gospel with those who are around us. For Sue and I, it's been wonderful. It's been fun to be in Chiapas. We finally reached an age of 66 and a half, and the Reformed Church said, it's time for you to retire. And I said, oh, I've got a lot of miles on me yet. I could still go on for another 3 or 4 years, or I don't know. For a long time yet, I guess. And they said, no, because of health problems, and because of our personal health problems, but general health problems for missionaries, because of things like trying to find health insurance for you and to keep you on the field. Social Security says 66, 66 and a half, and it's time for you to retire. But I'm not sure that I'm ready to retire yet, and so I think I'm going to go to another mission field. It's called Pella, Iowa. We have a couple of daughters living there, and there are about 28, 29 churches in Pella. But there are lots and lots of unevangelized people in Pella, Iowa. People who need to hear the gospel, need to be challenged to follow Jesus Christ. People who need to respond to what God is saying in their lives. And so Sue and I are hoping to continue with our ministry there. We probably won't be using the paramedic training ministry because the U.S. doctors and nurses don't really appreciate it. The people who are lay people being involved in medical work in the United States. We may be involved in women's ministry again. Sue has been instrumental in beginning women's societies in Chiapas and helping the Tsotsil women to feel a part of the ministry of their churches, their congregations. But we know that God has great plans for us. We're not sure exactly where they are, and so we continue to pray and look for the guidance of the Holy Spirit to ask God to direct us and to show us where to go and to how to minister, and that we can be the people of God in that place called Pella, Iowa, or wherever else God might send us. One of the famous theologians, missiologist, Emil Brunner said, "The church exists for mission as a fire exists for burning. The whole reason that there is a fire is to burn. And the whole reason that the church exists is to be involved in ministry and mission and to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with other people." So I leave that challenge with you this morning.